This episode is part of the Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. It's one way we serve local officials through integrity, public service, fiscal responsibility, and operational excellence. As always, please direct specific questions about coverage to your risk management advisor.
Hi, I'm Scott Houston, host of the Local Officials Stronger Together podcast. We've got a great episode today where we're going to talk about a topic that's had lots of misconceptions, and that topic is employee drug testing. And joining us to help today is Laura Mueller, who's the Dripping Springs City Attorney. I've got a special place in my heart for Laura. She began her legal career as a law clerk at the Texas Municipal League. And then later, we served together as attorneys for 7 years. She then went to private practice and now is the in-house attorney for Dripping Springs. And she's also on the Texas City Attorneys Association Board of Directors. She has really developed a niche in employment law and even more specifically in drug testing. So Laura, welcome. We'll look forward to our discussion today. Let's have a seat. We're really excited to be here today to talk about a topic that there's a lot of confusion about. So I think the first question I want to ask you about drug testing, which is what we'll be talking about, is what's the difference for the rules related to a city or other local government employee and a private employer? What's the interplay there? How's it different?
So it's different in that cities have a lot more limitations on who they can drug test because of the United States Constitution. So there's a limitation when you think about the Constitution and a limitation on search and seizures, which we often hear about with law enforcement, that also applies to cities because they're governmental entities. So when a city wants to drug test an employee, they can't just drug test any employee they want whenever they want. They have to look at either suspicion or some other safety or security sensitive concern because of that Fourth Amendment to the Constitution limitation.
So we've got limitations related to the Constitution for public employees. Tell us what that means specifically with regard to, first, we'll talk about random drug testing, and then next we'll talk about drug testing if there's some event or behavior that might cause that. So tell me a little bit about how that works with random drug testing for city and other local government employees.
So for random drug testing, also known as suspicionless drug testing, every employee at the city cannot be randomly drug tested. You can't put every employee's name in a hat or a jack-o'-lantern and pull it out. What you have to do instead is only those employees who are in safety or security sensitive positions, those individuals can be randomly drug tested. But you can't randomly drug test every city employee. So for a safety security sensitive position, it might be someone who's involved in drug investigation, like a peace officer, or someone who drives heavy equipment for the Public Works Department, or someone who has a commercial driver's license, where drug testing is actually required.
But there is legal precedent related to what is a safety-sensitive position. You can't just have a city official say, I think this is safety-related. You have to rely on law to make that determination. So I think maybe a good example might be, in addition to what you said, what about a person who in public works who operates a backhoe all day?
So a backhoe is a great example of someone that you could, who operates a backhoe or a skid steer in our situation, could be randomly drug tested without suspicion because they're in that kind of safety sensitive position. That's in, you know, contrast to someone who just drives a city vehicle or doesn't have safety or security sensitive, like city staff who are in the office, like city secretaries, city planners, city attorneys. Those people couldn't be drug tested randomly, unless you put the city attorney on the skid steer, which I would not recommend.
That's awesome. And so we've talked about then the random drug testing that can be done for safety-sensitive positions. What about the other folks you mentioned, people in the office, the city attorney, if she's not driving the skid steer or the backhoe, or the city secretary, or another person who may be working in the front office? How does testing work for that? When are you allowed to test them?
So they can be drug tested when it comes to suspicion, if there's suspicion of drug testing, or suspicion of drug use, or alcohol use, actually, you can do both. And it's in situations where, one, maybe they got in an accident where there was an injury, and there's some evidence of negligence on the part of the employee. So I'll give an example of, like, if you have, like, a building official out driving a car and they rear-ended someone, then if you have it in your written policy to drug test them, you could. because that's an activity or action that could show that they need to be drug tested. Also, there is some precedence to be able to drug test people based on their behavior. You just have to be really careful because the courts have also said you might need specialized training to make those types of decisions.
So you're a city attorney, so you're kind of a jack of all trades. You know, there's a lot of things to know about municipal law, but you've really developed an expertise, especially in employment law. And you've written papers on it, specifically on drug testing, and even larger papers on public employment law in general. The question that I have is something that you mention a lot, which is focus on the ability of the person to do their job in accordance with the job description. Tell me more about that and how it relates to whether or not you should be drug testing someone.
So for anything, drug testing or any kind of decision you make for an employee, the best place to start is whether they can perform the essential functions of the position on the job description. If they're performing their job, then is there a reason to do anything? Is there a reason to drug test them? Is there a reason to take other kind of measures against them? And if they're not doing their job, do you need a drug test to show you that? Or is it okay just to not do the drug test, not to, to discipline them in some way, regardless of whether they've been drug tested or not?
Right. You mentioned that you should generally rely on someone's ability to perform their job in accordance with their job description. And one question that brought to my mind, something that I hadn't thought that I would ask you, but I think is important, is what if I believe I have a drug or alcohol problem and I come to my supervisor or HR and I say, I've got a drug or alcohol problem, I need help. What happens then?
So that is something, hopefully, that's addressed in your written policy. But under the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is a federal law that helps individuals with disabilities, having an addiction to a drug or to drug or alcohol is considered a disability, and it's something, especially if someone goes to their employer ahead of something happening, then that employer needs to work with them to assist them in whatever way they can, maybe to let them use their sick leave, their vacation, to go get assistance with that. Maybe there's other job duties that they need to be off for a while. But on the flip side of that, once you've done that and had that conversation, that's another, you're able to drug test them after that, or alcohol right. test them after that.
And that doesn't mean that they get a pass on doing their job. It just means
right.
that they get the opportunity to fix the problem. But if they can't perform the essential functions of their job after a period of time, then that
yes.
may be okay to discipline or take action.
Right. And that's why they have to be able to perform the essential functions of their job. Those should be listed in their job description. And being at work is an essential function of the job. So while, you know, we have FMLA as well, time that you can take off, or ADA time that you can take off, at the end of the day, at some point, being at work is an essential function of the job.
Right. And so this one is kind of an interesting one. In Texas, there have been a lot of recent changes by the legislature relating to THC and CBD and hemp and all these things, and it's become difficult to test for certain things, and doctors can now prescribe certain people THC. Tell us a little bit more about that. Is it something that you can still test for and discipline? How does that work?
So one thing that I would start with is, under federal law now, low levels of THC from hemp-based products are allowed, and that Texas has not prohibited them. But that being said, an employer could prohibit the use of THC or prohibit the use of CBD and put it in their policy. The issue becomes when an individual's prescribed it under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and they've been prescribed THC, and then they get tested for it, and they get disciplined in some way because of that, although it's a prescription. So the question is, can you perform the essential functions of your job if you've used THC? THC stays in your body for a really long time. And so it's a balancing act at that point. If they can perform the essential functions of the job when they're on THC, or if they're on Vicodin, or if they're on Benadryl, I mean, there's so many different choices. Are they able to do their job? And if they are, then disciplining them for a drug that they've been prescribed, I think, is very problematic under the Americans with Disabilities Act. But there's not a specific protection like there is in other states for individuals who test positive for THC.
Well, that sounds like a really complex legal issue. But again, we sort of come back to the fact that, can the person do their job? Are they performing satisfactorily? And typically go from there.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, the final thing I want to ask you about is applicants. A lot of local government officials and supervisors have that in their mind that once they've gone through an interview process and then offered an applicant a job, at that point, it's okay to test them for drugs. So tell us whether that's right or wrong.
That's wrong.
Right?
You can't do that. For any position that's not safety or security sensitive. So the difference between employees and applicants is you're probably never going to have a suspicion-based reason to drug test an applicant. But if they're in a safety or security sensitive position, it's in your written policy, then you could drug test them post-offer, pre-start employment for drugs.
So basically the rules are about the same, whether you're an employee or you're an applicant for a job. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate this, and it's a really important topic.
I completely agree, and I hope everyone takes the opportunity to look at their drug testing policy. Check out my paper. It's on the TML and TML IRP website. And just take a look at it and decide what's best for your city.
Well, let's conclude with our action items today. I've only got one. This is a very complex legal topic, and Laura has prepared, through the Texas City Attorneys Association, an amazing paper that goes through all these ins and outs. But what you need to do is get that paper, take a look, consult with your city attorney or other legal counsel for your entity, and make decisions based upon their advice. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.
To review written materials associated with the presentation or to ask Scott a question, please visit www.tmlirp.org and click on the Stronger Together podcast link. Please remember that the information in this episode is provided for informational purposes only and doesn't constitute legal advice. We recommend that you review the podcast and the accompanying written materials with your attorney prior to taking action.